Some tech companies are now in the small business lending program, but even they can't seem to hack this system. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. The Paycheck Protection Program is a week into its second round of hopefully funding small businesses through the coronavirus outbreak. Some financial tech companies, also known as fintechs, got permission from Congress to offer those loans. They include PayPal, Intuit, Cabbage, and others. The hope is that they can get loans to people and businesses who haven't worked with traditional banks in the past. And the fintechs say their tech is also an advantage. But so, is that true? Let's dig into it in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a second look at a big tech story. Felix Salmon is chief financial correspondent for the tech site Axios.
The banks were a bit slow to be able to set up websites. Their customers found it impossible to get through to a human being or to find out where they stood, whether their applications were going through. And there was a general feeling that given that all of this was being done on the internet, that internet companies might be better at doing it than the banks were. Mm-hmm. So relatively quickly, this program was opened up so that the eligible lenders included not only banks, but also internet companies like PayPal and Quicken and Square.
Gotcha. I mean, I feel like one of the questions about these lenders and fintech companies and neobanks in particular is that in some ways they sort of replace this idea of the community bank. Like, do we have any evidence that they are or could be more inclusive than established lenders?
I think they are, in that if you applied for a PPP loan from PayPal, then your chances of getting it were probably the same no matter who you were. Given that many of the people applying, if not most of the businesses applying, had no particular relationship with these fintechs to begin with. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get their loans. It's far from clear that the ability of PayPal to get loans through the SBA system and get people funded is any greater than any other bank. Right. But at least you can feel that you're on a level playing field, if that's any solace, which it probably isn't, to be honest.
Who is applying through, let's say, PayPal or Square or Intuit? Who are these small businesses?
To a first approximation, everyone who didn't get a loan or wasn't able to get through when applying through their bank. Whatever the reason was, if you haven't got your money, it's not that you give up on your bank entirely, but you say, well, maybe I can't get a loan through my bank. I should try getting a loan through someone else. And given that it's not difficult to apply through PayPal or Quicken or Intuit, you may as well try. If they come back to you and say, hey, you've been funded, that's brilliant, and you can take the money. And if they don't, it's no harm, no foul.
And is there any evidence, or will there ever be a way to tell, do you think, whether the claim that these kind of like tech-driven platforms are more nimble and better able to get your application through than a big bank?
The banks and the fintechs have all been extremely unhelpful when people like you and me have been asking them for details about how many people tried to apply, how many of those people who tried to apply actually got their money. Those ratios are not public information. They're not even information that the SBA has. So you'd need to get that information directly from each one. And I don't think any of them are going to be releasing that data on a kind of apples to apples basis that we'll be able to make that determination.
Is this an opportunity for these companies? Like, if they are able to establish themselves as this type of lender or just do good by some small businesses, is it an opportunity for them to build a customer base down the road?
I think for about 24 hours, it was an opportunity to get some goodwill. I think that as small business owners actually went to those places, put in their applications, and then didn't receive any money, that some of that goodwill did evaporate.
Right.
What's more, a lot of these companies aren't actually lenders at heart. Companies like PayPal and Square are much more based on payments than they are on loans. And so it's not clear that even if this did give them a foot in the door when it came to small business lending, that that's something that they would really want to beef up.
Right. And it feels like certainly some of them have provided loans like Cabbage or Intuit, but the others that haven't, do you think they're likely to discover that, in fact, this is a terrible morass that they would like to back out of slowly?
Small business loans are a horrible thing to be in general, because small businesses, so many things can go wrong. It's so difficult to really get under the hood and find out how credit worthy they are. For PPP, it's different because it's all guaranteed by the government, so you don't need to spend too much time really underwriting the loan and understanding the business before extending them the credit. But if you want to actually lend money to small businesses as part of your business, especially if you're doing it unsecured and you don't have access to cash flows, which you can just seize to pay back the loan, then yeah, it's a really gnarly business where a lot of lenders have become unstuck, and it's not clear that very many investors want these companies to get into that line of business.
Felix Salmon is chief financial correspondent for the tech site Axios. And now for some related links. Other fintechs and so-called neobanks are also trying to entice new customers or serve the ones they have in different ways during this pandemic. The neobank Chime gave all its customers a $200 advance against their government relief checks, since many of those checks were slow in coming. It said it saw 200,000 new signups after that, according to Business Insider. Although, to Felix Salmon's point, Chime said it has no interest in getting into lending. And Crunchbase has a piece this week about how fintech companies are still thriving during the downturn, hiring and raising money, and in some cases, being acquired. An analyst told Crunchbase that being approved as small business lenders was actually an additional stamp of approval for the industry. And here's what else we're watching in tech. Actually, on the financial tech side, the venture firm Andreessen Horowitz says it raised $515 million to invest in cryptocurrency and blockchain tech, and will even buy some crypto assets just to hang on to in case regular money collapses, I guess. Anyway, yes, crypto and blockchain are still a thing, even if no one's looking. In fact, just this month, Facebook released an updated white paper about its digital currency initiative, Libra, which it hopes is more regulator-friendly. Watered down was a phrase that was applied to Libra 2.0. And on Tuesday, the British payments operator Checkout.com joined the Libra Association. Okay, and side note on cryptocurrency, Forbes reported a couple weeks back about how Coinbase data this month shows a sudden spike in Bitcoin purchases in the amount of exactly $1,200. Or, you know, same as a stimulus check? Oof. And finally, we round out earnings week with, will the tech giants save the economy? Amazon, let's be honest, is kind of the one we've been waiting for, and it is suitably dramatic. Although Amazon made a ton of revenue off all our extra online shopping, it missed on earnings because it's spending a lot trying to hire, revamp logistics chains, and maybe occasionally get some protective gear to warehouse workers. Hopefully. The company said in normal times, it would have projected a $4 billion profit next quarter, but instead will spend that entire amount on coronavirus-related expenses. And in its letter to shareholders, Amazon said, quote, "If you're a share owner in Amazon, you may want to take a seat because we're not thinking small." In other reports, Twitter actually beat expectations because lots of people are on Twitter right now. But analysts did not like the part in the earnings call where execs said that they, like the rest of us, literally have no idea what the next quarter holds. And before we roll into the weekend, a quick word from one of our marketplace investors who wanted to let us know why she supports our work. I trust the reporting. I'm looking for well-informed, objective, and balanced reporting about business, technology, culture, and economy. I find all of this and more in Marketplace. That's Alejandra in Lubbock, Texas. Thanks to Alejandra and all of our Marketplace investors who make public service journalism possible. To learn more or donate, visit marketplace.org/givetech. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Robin Edgar is our engineer. Jody Becker is our outgoing senior editor, and we will miss her. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.